from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, well known for its spectacular costumes and outrageous hats and its satire and pop culture highlighting the world's longest musical, the world's longest running musical, Beach Blanket Babylon, is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. And its founder, Steve Silver, originally thought it would only last 6 weeks when he premiered it back in 1974. But the colorful stage performance has only grown in fans and a cast of characters spoofing everyone from San Francisco politicians to Oprah Winfrey and King Louis XIV. And we're going to reflect on the show's history, its trademark jaw-dropping hats, known especially for their towering fruit displays. Tina has one on. In fact, you see in the control room. And models of the San Francisco skyline. I should also mention that it's a San Francisco institution. And let me tell you who's joining us in studio. I want to welcome Joe Schumann Silver, producer of Beach Blanket Babylon. And tonight, by the way, there's a scholarship for the arts program that's, well, that's tonight at Club Fugazi.
Yeah.
You're raising some money for this. This has been going on for many years, even since the beginning, just about. Yeah.
No, we started this in honor of Steve Silver about almost 15 years ago, and it's open to all Bay Area high school seniors and in the singing and dancing and acting category. And then the winner tonight gets a $10,000 scholarship to higher education. And it's been
to study theater, basically. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been really successful, but it's been a lot of fun.
And let me say who's here with you, Joe. We have Kurt Branham, who's a performer in Beach Blanket Babylon. He's been with the show intermittently since the 1990s and is known for playing the role of King Louis. Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
And Shauna Ferris McNulty, who is also a performer, and she plays Snow White in the ensemble cast. Morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you all here. And there are 23 hats on display now throughout the Bay Area through mid-June as a salute to Beach Blanket Babylon. They're actually literally being saluted this Sunday at the Giants game, and all this is very exciting, I imagine, for you, Joe, and for the cast members, and for the, what, some 50 people now, including the musicians?
In the whole company?
Yeah.
Well, it's over 100, but...
Oh.
Yeah, no,
I cut you in half.
No, that's okay. Yeah, we're very excited about the hats because they're all the hats that Steve Silver had created over 40 years, and they're everywhere. They're at the DeYoung Museum. They're at Fairmont. They're at Cal Shakes. They're at Berkeley Rep. They're at the St. Francis. The biggest one is at Symphony Hall. They're at ACT. They're everywhere, including about 10 Macy's. And what we're so excited about and honored that the whole city jumped in to celebrate Beach Blanket Babylon, culminating in Friday, June 6th. There's a big celebration at noon at City Hall, open to the public.
And the mayor will be there
as
part of the festivities. The
yeah.
Charlotte Mayard Schultz and George Schultz and all kinds of dignitaries.
And Willie Brown and Michael Tilson Thomas. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
But not Prince Charles and the Duchess.
But
they did see the show.
They
right?
came. They loved it. They came backstage. We weren't allowed to take pictures with them. They turned around, made pictures around the world. So they were fabulous. But one of the biggest thrills for Beach Blanket and for Steve Silver was the Queen of England saw the show in 1983 when she came over with Prince Philip. And Steve did a special show at Davies Symphony Hall for them. So that was a thrill.
Well, it's not just all about hats, as some people might think, but there are 20 on display across the Bay Area as part of this celebration. And you mentioned the one of the skyline. That's what, 29 feet?
Well, the big silver one we made for the 25th anniversary of Beach Blanket, that's at Davies Symphony Hall. But in the Fairmont is a beautiful, one of Steve's first hats, one of his first skyline hats. And at Berkeley Rep, there's a New York City hat that Steve made in 1982. They're all dated and they're all vintage. They're all the original hats. That's what we think is so exciting.
Well, and you're still making people feel good. Let me bring a couple of the cast members into this discussion. Shauna Ferris McNulty with us, who took you a while to be Snow White, right?
A little bit. I didn't start as it. I dabbled as Pineapple Princess for about a year, and then there was a Snow White opening, and Joe and Kenny asked me to come and audition, and been over there ever since.
Yeah, speaking about Pineapple.
She's probably one of the best Snow Whites we've ever had.
You got a new ice cream flavor, in fact. She mentioned Pineapple Princess, but I guess it's Banana Carmen, Mr. Peanut, and Snow White.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. I can't wait to taste it on Friday.
you could go to the ferry building and taste it today.
It could be today, yes. But we have the scholarship, so okay. I'm a little busy.
Tomorrow.
Did you also do some twerking? I don't know if I should bring this up.
Oh. Yes, I
Miley
did.
Cyrus, you were Miley Cyrus?
Well, what we kind of do sometimes, if Joe and Kenny want something in the show immediately, sometimes Snow White gets to try it first. So they had Snow White twerking in the rap, which I have to say was one of Snow's best moments, I think.
Because she's had many.
Oh, it's true. But,
we could usually try it with Shauna, because Shauna is so quick and she's really smart. And we see the reaction. And if people like it, then we bring the character in.
But we all get to twerk now. I twerk as the queen.
Oh, he twerks all the time.
I twerk as Queen Elizabeth.
When you talk about the moments of the show, the show moves so quickly. And to some extent, it moves even more quickly than it used to, I think. Isn't that true, Joe?
Well, it has to change with the times. That's what Steve Silver did. It has to evolve throughout the years. Like when MTV was popular, he made it for the MTV generation. Today with the internet, are you kidding? It has to go like that. It is so quick. And they have to keep pace. And they're brilliant.
Are you on the internet a lot now as opposed to, you know, the People magazine type stuff?
No, I do both. Are you kidding?
She loves People.
I love the magazines. I love newspapers. But yes, of course, you have to be on the internet today.
Always looking, you know, just it's almost like doing a radio show. You always got to find material.
Exactly.
Be up
you always
on,
be on
you
top.
You always have to be up to date, but more with the pop culture. And Kurt, you were a CPA?
I was a CPA, yeah. I was a practicing CPA when I got the job.
So
I came
talk
over
about
the afternoon.
That metamorphosis. It's fascinating.
I always loved theater, and I just didn't have parents that supported it going into it for college. So I went into business school, and I just figured I'll become a CPA. That'll be an easy way to get a job, and it did. It all worked out fine. And then I got bored and started doing musical theater again for the community. And I met people in the community, and they said, you know, you got to come down to this show. And so I was working at the CPA firm, and one afternoon, a friend of mine said, I can get you a private audition this afternoon because they really need somebody. They really need an understudy. And I went over that afternoon thinking, well, this will just be a fluke, and it'll be fun.
And you nailed
me that. They called me that evening. I thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to do two jobs?
You also, I mean, you know him for King Louis, as I said earlier. Didn't you do one of the Jonas Brothers, too?
I did. I love doing the Jonas Brothers because I always turn to the people backstage and go, look, I'm 18 again. But it's so fun because they give us these great props. Like I had this kind of football wig with curly hair on my head. And all of a sudden, it just became, I became this like floppy 18-year-old again, you know. So they give us these great props to work with and these beautiful costumes. And it makes it really easy to find the characters.
Well, let's talk about those characters, because I think you actually find, you've said words to this effect, I believe, you find humanity in these characters. A lot of people go to Beach Blank and they, come on, it's all cartoons and, you know, it's just fun and all that sort of thing. You're talking very seriously, like pulling humanity out of these
characters? Well, I do, because I feel like it's important. I've always been taught, because I finally got to study theater after I'd been in Beach Blank and I went to New York for a couple of years to study, because I'd never been able to study theater. And I learned that you have to let the costumes speak for themselves and find the humanity in the character, find the person in the character. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, if I'm in the Queen Elizabeth outfit or if I'm in the Michelle Bachmann outfit looking like a stewardess from the 1960s. I find what that character wants to do.
Do you become Michelle Bachmann?
Well, better than Michelle Bachmann.
Just for that moment. But there has to be that something you bring on stage as to why you're going out there. And it's not just to get a laugh, and it's not just because I'm in a great costume. It can just be that, but if you can add that other layer that is a real person, it becomes brilliant and something other than just a two-dimensional character.
Well, last time, Shauna Ferris McNulty, we did something about Beach Blanket. Val Diamond was here and, you know, mainly associated with Snow White-type figures, Nancy Blaiweiss and Mary Claire Heron. Do men really play a central role here as much as one would?
Well, I mean, I think we have the through line looking for love, you know, constantly. And so I think that we go across a lot of men because we're doing that, you know? Snow runs into a lot of different people. So I think it's just kind of...
You just call her Snow for short.
Yeah, Snow. That's good. It's easiest,
ask,
you know?
Sometimes just ask. And she doesn't have really good judgment because it takes her 90 minutes
or
to really
hearing.
Go through a lot of men.
She can't hear anything either.
You know, Joe, we're talking about how you have to keep up with everything, but a lot of this is sight gags. A lot of this, I mean, the appreciation of Beach Blanket comes from not only the current stuff that you do and puns and content that's current, but also just really doing things which you know will be visual and have that effect on the audience.
That's how I pick what goes in the show. Of course, it has to be the most current, but we also have to get, they have to have a great visual. If they don't have a great visual, we'll create a great visual. Like some of the characters that have been gone in lately, we had to create our own visuals for them. Paula Deen, we had to make a Paula Deen hat and apron and all that. But everybody today, you could always find something funny and exaggerate it. That's what we do.
Well, you also have said on a couple of occasions, I think, you're laughing with the characters, not at the characters.
Exactly.
But Paula Deen, you know, has been ridiculed and is easy target of ridicule. Michelle Bachman, likewise.
You know? Oh, you should hear him sing and his lyrics for Michelle Bachman. They're one of the best we've ever written, mm-hmm. and he is brilliant at that. Paula Deen also, you know, if it was a mean-spirited show, we would still wouldn't be running. Steve made sure that we never crossed that line. And we, if Paula Deen came to the show or Michelle Bachman, I don't know if Michelle Bachman would love seeing herself like that, but...
Well, you're 40 years old. Congratulations on that. And maybe we'll hear from some of our listeners about Beach Blanket. Do you have a memory about Beach Blanket Babylon? About everybody within range of my voice has probably seen it. It's been around 40 years. It's actually also played in London and Las Vegas. And you may have some thoughts about your own experience of Beach Blanket Babylon, about the characters, about the gags, about whatever it was that stays in your memory. I'm just going to open the phone lines and invite you to join us. Our toll-free number, you may have questions also about the production of it and all of that and what goes on behind the scenes. Our toll-free number is available right now. It's 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can also email us. Email address is simply forum@kqed.org, or post your thoughts, questions, comments, memories onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And I should mention that the debut of Beach Blanket Babylon was at Club Savoy Tivoli back in 1974, but it has been playing at Club Fugazi, I believe, ever since.
Since 75, yeah.
Since 75. So I'd like to have you join us. Here's, and by the way, you can also, of course, tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum. And here's a tweet from Demetrius. What happened to Val Diamond? She was the best. Joe?
One of the best. And we always thank God that we had Val Diamond in the show because she's amazing. But it came the time that we felt mutually that she would move on. And everybody misses her to this day. And we're just so grateful we had her in Beach Blanket.
And I loved, I have to say, I just loved working with her. I was so fresh and new at the time, watching her every night, night after night, hit her marks, enjoying what she did. I studied her and I have copied her and I adore her. So I thank her for everything she gave me because she was my first idea of what comedy is all about.
And not only a exceptional talent, but also someone who was very nice, sweet, likable, you know, who had
absolutely
all the charm.
Great. What you saw on stage was what she was off stage. She mm-hmm. was giving and brilliant and beautiful.
So we'll bring our callers in and we'll start, Jimmy, with you. Hi.
I was going to say that in about 1970, I was working as a bartender at Henry Africa's near Polk Street. And when I would get off work late at night, I would go to an all-night coffee shop to eat. And as I looked out the window at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, there would be all these Christmas trees on Park Street. And there were never more than 3 or 4 or 5 people. But it was the most amazing thing to see. And then subsequently, of course, it all opened in North Beach. And it's been fabulous ever since.
Well, thank you for that memory. Again, we're welcoming these kind of memories. Talking about some of the people who have made Beach Blanket Babylon, and there's really sort of the invisible, unsung hero. Michael Tilson Thomas, I think, called Chad James and the whole house band nothing short of extraordinary musicians.
Oh, we have the best band. And right now, our musical director is probably the finest. His name is Bill Keck, and he's probably the finest any place in the world. We are so fortunate to have him. And our band and our director, Kenny, and our choreographer, Mark, we have the best people in the world. We're very, very fortunate. It's really a wonderful family.
And here's John joining us from Lafayette. Hi, John.
Hi there. I've been in San Francisco now 30 years. I went my first year in the city back in 84 to see Beach Blanket Babylon. I go once every year, but I go more frequently when I have visitors from out of the country because I always say that Beach Blanket Babylon is much more the San Francisco treat than Rice-A-Roni.
Oh, thank you.
You know, your best tourist magnets are San Franciscans. I mean, somebody comes here to visit and they'll say, you got to see Beach Blanket Babylon.
75% of our credit cards are local. And that's what's so great. They're such great ambassadors because, yes, anybody comes to town, they're so proud of the show, thank God, and they invite people. So it's really great.
What word, I mean, this is kind of a crazy offbeat question, but after all, Beach Blanket Babylon is crazy and offbeat, so I'm going to ask it anyway. I mean, you often hear words to describe Beach Blanket Babylon through the years, you know, zany, wacky, crazy, campy, funny, silly. Any one particular word sum it up for you, Joe? Or then we'll ask the cast members, too. Or what would be the word that you would most resonate to or that you would most be drawn to?
I mean, I'm not prejudiced because it was my late husband's show and it's my show, but I think it's brilliant. I really do. But people, you can't describe Beach Blanket, but after seeing how Steve created it and how we've kept it going in his image, I just think the show is brilliant and you're guaranteed of having the best 90 minutes of your life.
All right, can't use brilliant. Let's go to you two.
I say unique. I just think it's so strangely unique. And people come, they come from New York and they're not expecting much and they see a really solid, funny, unique show.
I'd probably say hilarious, you know? I mean, it's so hard to say one word because people ask me and I feel like I start talking about it for 2 minutes. But yeah, hilarious. I mean, it's there to make everyone laugh. That's the point. And, you know, we throw everything at you. Everything. I mean, the look, the sound, everything.
Well, talk about that. I mean, it used to be, I think it's still, you still have six handless, cordless handheld mics. That's pretty much the way it operates. And how many costume changes per show?
We had to count them the other day. Most of the performers, there's 10 principal performers, they might have 10 or over costume changes per show. So
it's a lot of costumes.
At least. Yeah, 10 to 15 probably.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. When they change their costume, they're changing their wig, their shoes, their hat, everything.
That's the hardest part, Michael, is really backstage changing clothes. Once you're out there, it's very easy, but it's like you think, oh, my God, shoes. I have to put on different shoes now. Yeah, so I have to bend over.
Crew. I was going to say the tech crew is amazing.
Tech crew's amazing.
People are shocked when they find out there's only like 5 or 6 tech crew backstage.
Yeah, only one dresser and one props hat person backstage. And the dresser is doing all of us, and the props person is also getting all the props in order.
It is.
It's spectacular.
It's astonishing. I mean, really. I remember when I first saw it, I thought, really be that few people?
Yeah, and it's so low tech. That's the brilliance of the show, too, is it's still very low tech. We still hang the signs. We haven't made them videos.
You're old school people.
We are old school, and I hope we never change that because I think that's the flavor that Steve really wanted to keep.
Yeah, but like Joe said, you've got the internet now. You've got shorter attention spans.
But you know what? We will never change that. This is how Steve Silver created the show, and we're continuing in his vision and legacy, and it'll always have that Beach Blanket feel.
They just change the signs faster.
Yes. We'll just do hatchet signs. You know, we have the signs that just hatchet right down, and you see them. We'll just start a bunch
but
of
aren't
them.
The numbers faster now? I mean, it used
the numbers are faster and shorter.
It used to be about 10 minutes. Now they're like 3 or something.
Right. If 3, that's long.
Yeah.
That's a long
it is.
Number.
It's
you know,
very, very fast.
A lot of it has to do with who needs to change and do we have time to put this person in? So it is really fast.
Yeah.
Let's go to some more of your calls. And by the way, you can join us toll-free 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQEDForum. And we'll go to Petaluma. Harold, hi.
I am a native San Franciscan. I was at one of the very first shows. I'm glad to hear this, that the show is still going strong. My ex-wife was a dancer who danced with Mr. Peanut. He was the original Mr. Peanut. Boy, could that guy, he could dance.
Wow.
I mean, the show has just been a winner from the very beginning, and I'm really glad to hear it's going strong.
Thank you so much.
It is going strong. What do you say, Joe, when people say, well, it's kind of frivolous? Because you do hear that word too, don't you?
Well, I don't see it frivolous at all. I just say, look at our audience. When they walk out, they'll come up to whoever is there. If I'm standing in the back, they'll say, thank you for giving me such a great 90 minutes. I didn't feel good. I had problems with my parents, my this, my that. And all my cares went away. And that makes us feel so good that we could help people enrich their lives. So
you're there all about, and this was Steve Silver's vision, I guess, lifting spirits, really, yeah?
Exactly. That's how Steve looked at it, like a hell spa.
So that's with a lot of sequins.
He said, yeah, hell spa with sequins. But he would say, this is a hell spa. People would come in, you know, upset, depressed, and they walk out and they're so happy. So that always made him feel great.
So I've got the one word now. Salubrious. That's what.
Oh my God. You had the word.
Of course you would.
We knew.
Of course you would come up with that.
You guys have a good time when you do this, every time you do it, don't you?
Oh, we do. Well, working with somebody like Shauna is amazing because she is so effervescent and fun and exciting. And when you go out on stage with a sense of curiosity, a sense that you have no idea what the show is going to be like tonight, because no show is the same. You have no idea what's going to happen. If somebody's going to walk off stage or somebody's going to fall down or a hat's going to go flying or someone's going to forget their lyrics. So it gives you a sense of curiosity and a total sense of enjoyment and a sense of connectivity, too, that something's happening on stage and that you're connected to it as a group of 10 of us. And we love being with each other.
It's almost familiar from what I understand. But that can be a little scary when you don't – I mean, we had in the first hour this morning, just everything went kind of dead, you know, an electrical failure. There's always those kinds of stories.
We have those things.
We've been through it all. We have been through it all.
When you're doing a live show.
That's what makes it fun.
That's theater, you know, and this cast, we live for those moments. It's what's going to happen. How are we going to fix it and how are we going to move on?
And you get so confident because you get to do it over again. It's like if you screw up the first show, it's like, well, I get to do it again in an hour, so it'll be better that show. Or you're ready. You're prepared. You know you will survive, I think is what we're trying to say.
Eventually we'll
get to the end. And Beach Blanket has taught us survival.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how much do you cast members have input into, you know, shaping the characters and bringing the lines to bear?
They get so tired of listening to me, no. Michael. They get so tired of listening to me. I'm still trying to put Putin in the show.
I said after the 40th, I will put it in.
They do listen, and they really do hear us, and they want a good idea.
You're checking their books, too?
No,
really from your CPA background?
No, not yet.
Joe's great at listening to us.
I'll ask anybody. I mean, the cast members, especially these two, will come up with great lines. And what's so good about Beach Blanket, I could try any line they give us.
Yeah.
Because if the audience doesn't react, okay, the next day we'll try something else. So, yeah, for me, it's really fun to have input from the cast.
But you have to have kind of an inner Geiger counter all the time, you know, in terms of is this going to go well with the audience or is it going to fall flat? And, you maybe can hit 70, 80%, but you can't do 100%.
No matter what we think of a number, if we think it's gold and it's brilliant, if the audience doesn't care, it's out. We put Pharrell in the other day. The number actually didn't work when we first put it in. I came in. We tweaked it. Made it work, gave the line to Shauna.
And, you say you tweaked it or twerked it? I didn't know.
we'll probably do both.
That one I tweaked, and it's a big number. So we're thrilled, but we love trying new stuff. But we would ask, I'll ask anybody, even walking down the street, what do you think of this character or how does this character look? But especially from the cast, I love hearing that.
So tell me like what you did that you really thought was going to be gold and went flat. I mean, what's the...
Okay.
I remember the Ugly Betty number.
Oh, come on. You know how much I tweet that? I tweaked it so much. She was a mess. She was Pretty Betty.
You tried so hard.
Tried so hard. And the cast is great about wanting it, you know, to succeed. And if it fails and the audience doesn't care, it's out. There was another number that, because some of the kids for Halloween came dressed as Grease. And I said, oh, my God, this is going to be gold. And we put it in. The audience didn't care because Grease is a parody already. So, yeah, but that we've been lucky.
It's hard to parody a parody.
It's very hard to parody a parody.
Try Mother Teresa.
He was Mother Teresa.
I was Mother Teresa.
Come on, New Year's.
Come on, that changed your life.
It changed my life.
Really? You wanted to go to India?
Well.
We expanded him. He did that for the millennium.
I tap danced her little feet off. I led Shout, and the audience was they did not like that at all. I've never seen so many jaws on the ground staring at me for about 7 minutes.
Until we changed it. But no, he was brilliant as Mother Teresa. That's what we
expected. Let me bring a Sacramento caller in, and that's you, Charles. Hi. Welcome.
Yes, hi. Hey, how about doing a sample number on the air? And number two, I'd love to buy a video about doing that, something like a la steps. And third, how about a tribute to Tom Lehrer? That's it.
Okay.
I can't do Poisoning Pigeons in the Park, I don't think.
As a fan of Tom Lehrer, his name has certainly come up, but I think that's maybe for us to consider maybe in a forum program. He's still alive, I believe. But what about a video? Do you have anything out there, Joe?
We really don't. We have videos of the show, which we look at to look at past numbers and how the performers look and all, but... No, we really don't want it on video because we really want everybody to come to our club and see the show live. And so Steve never felt there was a reason to do video, and I continue what he wanted, so no.
So you want to comply with Charles' request here? You want to do
what do we want to do?
I don't know. Big girls? I don't know. What do we do together?
Can we do big girls?
They don't cry. They don't cry.
Big girls.
They don't cry.
They don't cry.
That's as good as it gets before 11 o'clock, Charles. I'm so sorry.
It's also apropos because the movie of Jersey Boys is coming out soon. It's being heralded all over.
It looks so good. Clint Eastwood directed it.
Yeah.
And it really looks good, which is good for you.
Here's Gary who writes, we first met Steve when he was doing an art show on the side of Savoy Tivoli. When he learned that my grandmother had a kazoo band that went to hospitals and senior centers to entertain, he immediately wanted to meet her. They met and played kazoo, but unfortunately she did not live long enough to enjoy Beach Blanket Babylon. Her daughter and my father joined us many times to see the show at the Savoy, Fugazi, and the big events at the Opera House. There's Connie who says, where does the name Beach Blanket Babylon come from?
Well, Steve was a fan of the Beach Blanket bingo movies of the 60s with Frankie Avalon and Nev Funicello. And so when he started his show at the Savoy Tivoli, he just named it that, and Babylon was just alliteration. Has absolutely no meaning. And then Frankie and Annette became very, very good friends of Steve's. And for his 20th anniversary at the Opera House, they both appeared there. But that's where it came from.
Actually, I met Frankie Avalon. I hate to say how long ago it was, but he was at Kane Park in Cleveland and talked to him. A nice, genial guy.
So nice. He still stays in touch with me. Annette, unfortunately, passed away. But they were just big fans of the show, and Steve just loved them. And so any anniversary, they would appear.
Who else do you count among your big fans? I mean, luminous names like...
Well, Tommy Tune is a great fan of ours, and he's appeared in the show.
You've had other people do cameos through the years.
Michael Tilson Thomas is probably one of our favorites. He appeared at our 30th anniversary, and he's going to appear Friday, June 6th, City Hall for our 40th anniversary.
What Federica else? Vanchdada was there. She did the show with us.
For Salute to the Opera. She's brilliant.
And what else is going on with the 40th? We've talked about the hats. And people get information. You have a website about where they are and where they can see them?
Oh, yes. Beachblanketbabylon.com. But the big celebration is going to be this Friday, June 6th, noon, at City Hall, open to the public. There's going to be a lot of singing, dancing, free ice cream and chocolate and hats, and it's going to be just a lot of fun.
You're going to have the new flavor, too?
Oh, yes.
Are you kidding? It's going to be at City Hall.
Well, congratulations on 40 years.
Thanks, Michael.
You're much too young for that, Joe, but there it is.
Thank you.
And ongoing success. Joe Schumann-Silver, producer of Beach Blanket of Babylon. And by the way, tonight at Club Fugazi, there's a scholarship for the arts, and this Friday at noon, there's a celebration at City Hall, as Joe said, open to the public. 23 hats on display throughout the Bay Area through mid-June. They're being saluted this Sunday at the Giants game. Thanks to Shauna, otherwise known as Snow White, Shauna Ferris, or Snow McNulty, and Kurt Branham, CPA and performer of King Louie and others. Go out with this.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.